That 107th Psalm. You know, I was talking to you this morning about reasons. Reasons for praise. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for He's good. That's reason for praise. For His mercy endureth forever. That's reason for praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for man's redeemed. That's reason for praise. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We were held captives, just like the Egyptians were held in bondage, captives of Pharaoh in Egypt. That's a picture of us. We were held captive. Held captive by sin and by the devil. And He paid the price. And justice said, loose them and let them go. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And He gathered them out of the lands from the east and the west and the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And He delivered them out of their distresses and led them forth by the right way. They might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man. He satisfies the longing soul, and He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And all of those verses are reasons for praise. To the book of Ephesians for a little while here this evening. Ephesians chapter 2. I mentioned to you there that He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. He made us free. Remember that our Lord says, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. That's what we're freed from. From the power of sin. And it's only found in coming to terms with God's holy law. You see, as long as we are in debt to the righteous demands of God's holy law, we're under the power of sin and death. And the only way we can be delivered from that bondage is through a substitute, through someone like us who will engage Himself in our behalf to meet all the demands of that righteous law. And it was the grace of God before the world ever was that was the source or the means of sending the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to meet the terms of the law on our behalf and settle the question once and for all. It was by the grace of God. Here in this second chapter and the 8th and 9th verse, it says this. Paul writing to these Ephesian church members, believers. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, at the outset here, or in the beginning, let me say that in whatever scriptural light we view or enjoy salvation, we're forced, persuaded, and convinced, and compelled to own it to be from first to last, from start to finish, in any way you look at it, all of grace. All of grace. It is the salvation of God. Being the salvation of God, it's got to be all of grace. It's God who plans. It's God who performs. It's God who perfects every part of our salvation. And the Bible refers to Him in several places as the God of all grace. Not the God of some grace, but the God of all grace. It was the God of all grace alone. He had the choosing of Christ to the great and glorious work of the salvation of His people and the enjoyment of it. He alone chose the Lord Jesus Christ. In grace, before the world ever was, the Lord God alone settled the number of those who would be saved. God in grace, before time ever was, settled the number, fixed the number of those who would be saved here in time. And those that He chose in Christ and fixed that number, He gave them to Christ, who was their head and their surety. You remember, I've read to you numerous times in John chapter 17, "All that the Father giveth to me, all that God gives to me," the Lord Jesus said, that is, that out of that number that was fixed by God in eternity past, He gave them to the Lord Jesus, who is our covenant head, whom He sent to save. He gave them a number, a fixed number. And not only gave them to Christ their head and surety, but gave Him to them with all the vast revenues of grace which are ever found in Him and Him alone. God made the salvation and the saved one forever one. Once in Him, forever in Him, by grace. So the eternal covenant stands. No break in the alliance, in the agreement of the parties involved in the covenant, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The covenant stands. Those that of that fixed number, He gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem them, to save them, that fixed number. Now, in the purpose of God, don't misunderstand me here, in the purpose and in the mind of God, these that he gave, of that fixed number that he gave to the Lord Jesus Christ to save, in the mind of God, they were saved from eternity. In the mind and the purpose of God, they were saved from eternity. Now, they were saved from all eternity. Now, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, here in time, they are saved from the wrath of God that fell on Christ as he hung on that tree. Saved from the wrath. They were in the purpose of God. They were saved before time ever was. Here in time, they were saved from the wrath of God because their sins were transferred to the Son of God, their head and surety, their representative. He came to save them. In the mind of God, they're already saved. But he came to save them here in time. And they experienced salvation. And the way he saved them was by the transfer of their sins on him. And so the infinite wisdom of God gathered all the sins of the people that he chose and fixed before time ever was. Infinite wisdom gathered all their sins and laid them on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wrath of God that was due them went where their sin was, which was on Christ. And the wrath of God fell on him. So you can say, in the person of Christ, they were saved from holy wrath on Calvary in Christ. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are saved from the power of Satan and from the plague of sin and from the pollutions of this world. Salvation by grace is from all past sins and all present sins and all future sins. And it's all by the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now grace, God's marvelous grace, does not try to save. It saves. Whole lot of difference in trying to do something and doing something. Most of my life has been spent in trying and not doing. Very few things I ever accomplished. Limited in ability, talent, and skill. But God is not limited in wisdom and power, not limited in love and mercy. He has lots of it. And when his grace saves, it's not the result of him trying to save. The grace of God does save. And it does not do its best, but it does save. The grace of God. I've been told and have tried to tell you here this evening what grace has done and what it does and what it will do for you and I who are saved in the Lord. It pays in the person of Christ all that we owe. We're all bankrupt and we don't have anything to pay. If we had anything to pay, we wouldn't pay anyhow. Bankrupt with nothing to pay, and the Lord Jesus Christ pays it all. So we owe nothing to the law. We owe all of our allegiance now to the captain of our salvation, the head of the church, the surety of the covenant, the blessed man Christ Jesus, whose name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, there's one precious gift of grace which I just want to mention, and that's a gift of faith. That's a gift of grace. Faith is a gift of God. Let me read that to you in here. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's faith he's talking about. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. Now, I think I said before that a self-righteous legal spirit is sure to look for faith where faith can never be found. They always look in themselves. And faith is a foreigner to self. Faith lies in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Instead of looking to him, they look to self. They are essentially too proud to be saved by the grace of God. They must have something to do with it. Now, let me read something to you over here in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 14. Listen to this. Paul, speaking of himself, he said he thanked God. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is what I was before. Before he saved me, this is the kind of person I was. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor. Injurious. I injured people. I hurt people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. And there you got it. Which is in Christ Jesus. I said a proud, legal, self-righteous sinner looks for faith where it can never be found. He looks in self. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. There you have it. Out of Christ, it's a foreigner. It comes, faith comes by hearing. I think that's said over there in the book of Romans. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can look and examine yourself from now till the last day. And you can't find faith in yourself. It's a gift of God. It's a spiritual grace and gift that comes from the hand of God. It's in Christ Jesus. And it comes by hearing. But the speaker must be the Christ of God. He must do the speaking. And the voice of the beloved must be heard by the Spirit, carrying his testimony of grace home to the heart of the sinner. It's the faith of God's elect. It says here in the book of Titus, right behind Timothy, in the first chapter and the first verse. It says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. And beyond the bounds, listen to me now, it's the faith of God's elect. I told you at the outset that God, in the Trinity of His persons, fixed His eye on a fixed number. And He did it according to His good pleasure. There's no reason to be found in you or myself to be numbered in that holy band. The reason was in Himself. He did it out of love and pity and mercy. He did it according to His good pleasure. And all of them that He chose. The Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem. And the Bible says it's the faith of God's elect. God gives faith to those that He fixed, that number that He fixed. And it's in Jesus Christ. And I read to you there in Titus, where it says the faith of God's elect. So I said after that, beyond the bounds of God's election, faith is unknown. It is the faith of God. And without God's grace, faith cannot be exercised. Without the grace of God. Grace, free favor, free faith. It's grace is the freest, it's freer than the air. free favor. No strings attached to it. Over here, I'm going to show you something here, and I think it's the book of Luke. Chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. It's what I call bringing grace. It's the God of all grace. And this is a phase of it. It's called bringing grace. Now, here in this chapter, there was a rich man. His name was Zacchaeus. He is the chief among the publicans. He is rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, skip a couple of verses and go down at verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. This is what I call bringing grace. I said the faith of God, it is the faith of God Almighty, and without God's grace, it cannot be exercised. And that grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He brings this grace, this divine favor, to this hated, cheating, lying tax collector. Because he was one of that fixed number. One of that fixed number that God sanctified and set apart and chose in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. He is one of them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he came for, was to save the people that God gave him before the world ever was. And he said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And when they come to me, there's no way I'm going to cast them out. And this is one of them. The reason I know it's one of them, because after he says to him in the 9th verse, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he, that's Zacchaeus, also a son of Abraham. Remember when he took Abraham out to look at the stars? And he said, so shall thy seed be. He said, can you count the stars, Abraham? I can't count. There's too many of them. So shall thy seed be. This is one of his seed right here, the son of Abraham. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Go back up to 6th verse. He made haste and came down, and he received him joyfully. He didn't argue with him. He didn't make any propositions. He didn't say this and that, but he come down and received him joyfully. And they saw it, and the crowd, and they all murmured, saying, boy, what's going on here? That he's going to be a guest for the man that's a sinner. Christ loves sinners. Let me put it this way. They're the only ones he came to save, sinners. He didn't come to save nobody else. Only those that can get under this banner of sinners. And of course, all those that are in that fixed number, the Holy Spirit's going to bring the testimony of Christ home to their hearts, convict them of sin. Remember I told you that the sin of sins was not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to convict them of that sin of not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to freely and gladly receive him joyfully. They're not going to have to have their arms brought behind their back and twisted and brought upward and forced into receiving him. They're going to receive him joyfully, freely, and cheerfully, and gladly. And they're going to say, my beloved is mine, and I'm his. And that's just about what this fellow said. He said, well, if there's anything I've done wrong, I'll make it up. I'll do right. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Bringing salvation is come to this house. Well, the Lord bless us in this.